once again. Hour number two of the Monday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Overcast, breezy, but still warm day here in central Wisconsin, but the warm temperatures are about to come to an end. But boy, I hope you had a chance to get out, enjoy just a beautiful weekend here in central Wisconsin. To find out about the weather as we get into the new work week, again, we're joined from Weatherology by meteorologist Ray Miller. Ray, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. As you mentioned, we're going to see temperatures dropping pretty considerably over the next couple of days, along with some shower chances, some hit and miss rain as we go through the afternoon. Nothing particularly heavy. Temperatures in the lower 70s, but beginning to fall through the late afternoon as south winds gradually turn to the north at 15 to 30 miles an hour. Showers tonight, a low of 45 degrees with light southwest winds becoming a little bit more northwesterly at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Tuesday, a couple of showers possible, high of 53. Wednesday, sunny with a high of 52. Thursday, partly sunny, high of 52 degrees. And for Friday, partly sunny with a high around 53. Saturday and Sunday looking sunny with highs in the mid-50s. In the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller.
Looks like once we get past this next couple of days with that chance of rain, it looks like it's going to be a pretty quiet and a pretty normal fall-like weather pattern as we get towards the end of the week and the weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly looks that way. Temperatures fairly close to average for this time of year, and as you mentioned, not much precipitation once we get this rain out of the area.
Okay, Ray. Well, again, thank you for a great weekend weather-wise. Enjoy the rest of the day, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
I'll see you then. Take care.
And right now in Wausau at our studios on East Wausau Avenue, it is mostly cloudy skies, temperature of 68 degrees. The winds out of the southeast at 16 miles per hour. The dew point is 56, relative humidity of 65%, the barometer at 29.68 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, coming up in just a few minutes, about 6 minutes or so. We'll be joined by Kristen Conway, the 85th Assembly District Democratic nominee, as she is going up against the Republican incumbent Pat Snyder. So we'll talk to Kristen Conway coming up in just a few minutes. Also, tough week for the Packers. I'm not going to talk too much about it, but three losses in a row. Yesterday fell to the Washington Commanders by a score of 23-21. So Green Bay, 3-4 on the season, does not get easy on Sunday night. They play a Sunday night game at Buffalo against one of the top teams in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills. So Packers are in danger of seeing this season kind of slip away very, very quickly as we get closer to the midway point. But right now, just too many questions offensively for Green Bay. And did not get any help from the officials yesterday, but the Pack now 3-4 on the campaign, 2.5 games behind the Vikings in the NFC North Division. Badgers, very successful on their homecoming in Madison on Saturday. Badgers got off to a big start, led 21-0 quickly against Purdue, went on to defeat the Boilermakers by a score of 35-24. Badgers back at the 500 mark in the Big Ten Conference, I should say overall. Looks like Jim Leonard's got this team playing a little bit better. But the good news for us, Friday night in terms of sports, we had a high school football doubleheader on Friday. I was at Tom Field, where the Wausau West football team knocked off Wisconsin Rapids 28-14. Some history, 52 years of Wausau West high school football, and they had never won a home playoff game. That was the first home playoff game the Warriors had ever won, and they knocked off Rapids. It was only the third time the Warriors have won a playoff game of any kind. I mean, it's like it has been few and far between for the Wausau West Warriors in terms of football playoff wins. Ray Reinick, another huge night for Wausau West. He had 28 rushes for 212 yards and 2 touchdowns. The Warriors face a stiff test on Friday night. They travel to the number one ranked team in the state, Bayport, and we will have the game. I'll head over to Bayport High School for all the play-by-play on Friday. 6:40 for the pregame show, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff right here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Also, 8-player football playoff on Friday night, a game that we had here on Bull Falls Radio live on our website, BullFallsRadio.com and Sports Stream 2. Also on tape delay following the Wausau West game in 8-player football. Newman Katha came out and they just rolled McDonald. The Cardinals scored more than 60 points in the first half, dominated again. Newman Katha, 69-13 victors over McDonald. Cardinals remain undefeated. They are the number one ranked team in eight-player football, and they will try to take a step towards another state championship. Of course, they are the defending state champs from 2021. State quarterfinals this Friday at Merrill High School at Jay Stadium again. The Cardinals will take on Gilman. And last season, Gilman gave Newman their toughest matchup in the playoffs in the state semifinals. Cardinals held on for a one-point win, 29-28. Gilman always very tough. So Gilman takes on Newman Catholic again Friday night. You can hear that game live on our website, BullFallsRadio.com. Sports Stream 2, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the kickoff at 7 p.m. And you can also, again, hear that game on a tape delay basis here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 12:30, immediately following our coverage of Wausau West football. So, again, good news for our two teams we cover here on Bull Falls Radio with first-round playoff wins on Friday. We have to take a quick two-minute break, and then I will come back, and we will talk to the Democratic nominee for the 85th Assembly District, Kristen Conway, coming up next as we continue on this Monday afternoon edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful. A miracle, oh, it was beautiful, magical. And all the birds in the trees, well, they'd be singing so happily.
Oh, and welcome back. It is Monday. The time is 3:15. Another warm day here in central Wisconsin. Temperature 68 degrees under some overcast skies. Again, the last day we're going to see these well over normal temperatures before things cool down the rest of the week. We'll again update your weather in just a little bit, but right now very happy to welcome back into studio the Democratic nominee for the 85th Assembly District, Kristen Conway. Kristen, glad to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, plenty to talk about. I guess first of all, let's plug, because you have a little event coming up tonight, and finally we're going to see you and Patrick Snyder, the incumbent, the Republican, who is looking for re-election, but maybe not the way you want it, but at least at the very least, you're getting an opportunity to speak in front of some voters. What's going on later today?
Right, so it's a forum put on by the Chamber of Commerce and WIPS. It starts at 5 o'clock. And it's very, Ron Johnson will be there. Mandela Barnes, I don't think, has confirmed at this point. But every other candidate will be there. And it's very structured. It's very, the questions are already there. We just speak and answer the questions. And then they move on to the next person. So they were very explicit in their instructions of which door to enter, which room to wait in. So there will be no
interaction.
There will be no interaction, which I was like, okay.
It's at the Center for Civic Engagement at the UW-Stevens Point Wausau campus, again, starting at 5 o'clock, and you'll be on a little bit later on. So.
Yeah. They start with Ron Johnson, and I think Representative Snyder and I are the last two people. So.
Well, then saving the best for last.
Yeah, exactly.
I was saying off the air, and I said this about and I said it on the program about the gubernatorial debate and the Senate debates, where why the heck is it only 60 minutes? Why are we limiting discussion on very important issues? And there are so many issues we've talked about here in the past. We're going to talk about it again here today. So many issues that don't fit into a 30-second soundbite or even a 60-second soundbite. You have these rules. Well, after 60 seconds, we'll have the buzzer go off. You'll turn off your microphones. You cannot engage with your opponent. I mean, there's right. Something wrong here, isn't there?
Right. Everyone has been asking me for months, are you going to debate? And I was like, I'm open to it, but...
You'd do it every day of the week, wouldn't you?
Right, absolutely. And I know Katrina Shanklin's been trying to get her opponent to commit to a debate as well up or down south. And as far as I know, that's not happening either, so...
It does seem like, and again, I mean, you don't have to respond. This is just my opinion that is a game plan for a lot of Republican candidates around the state and around the country where they don't want us get in front. They don't want to get questions from media people because the media is biased. They don't want to get questions from university folks because they're intellectual snobs who hate Republicans.
Right,
the only
yeah.
people they want to get questions from are people that they handpick. I mean, and that's right. not the way you run for office. I mean,
no, and it's you're right. That's what I've been talking about since the beginning. Why are you running? Because we deserve accountability. We need to hold these leaders accountable and have them be available to answer questions. And I mean, I have, there's that meme of Homer Simpson going into the bushes
yeah.
and I have that ready to post because it's like, this is what happens when you're asked a tough question. The Republicans just go, nope.
And that's our whole system is based on the battle of ideas. And I know right. you have a lot of ideas.
I have a lot of ideas.
You want to talk about and you want to engage with your opponent because that's the way that you get things done as well. And I mean, it's not just in the debate setting. It's in the Madison setting where you have to talk to each other, go back and forth on ideas. And, hey, this is why my idea should be considered, why it should be working. And I think that maybe just step by step where some of the processes here in our government are breaking down because some of the norms have been changed over the last few number of cycles.
Right. And that's actually one of the questions tonight is how will you work with bipartisanship in this split? And I sat down and think about my answer and I'm like, I don't think it's possible, not with the current elected leadership and the current majority. I mean, 2% of the Democrats' bills even got a hearing this year.
Right.
And we have, I think Corey Tomchick has literally said he has no interest in working with Democrats. So how do you expect us to get through partisanship when, we're asked to come to the table to discuss, abortion, COVID, police reform, all the things the governor called them in for, and they all went, nah, we're not going to talk about that.
Going to talk about issues, but you brought up what Corey Tomchick said, and I remember reading that probably a couple of months mm-hmm. ago. It was actually an article that I and was asked about, how do you work with the people that did not support you? And I'm not talking about the people down in Madison, the Democratic
right.
people, but the people within your district that you're representing, and basically said, well, if you I'm a conservative, and if, I'm going to vote that way, and I really don't care what you think.
Right.
I mean, that's not the way to represent, because when you get elected, you represent everybody, from
absolutely.
The right to the left, and to say, well, basically, I'm going to represent the people that agree with me, and don't bother calling me because I'm not going to help you out with anything.
Right.
That's, again, a major breakdown in the norms of what's expected from a state representative.
Right. And I mean, I've had, my phone number was given out,
yeah.
and I've had people call me, and one lady, I answered the phone, and she was like, oh, this is a person? And I was like, yeah, I'm a person. She said, well, I didn't expect you to answer. And I said, well, and I don't answer all
of
them.
Why did you call them?
I know. Well, she said, I thought it would be a machine. I didn't realize.
And then to probably say some nasty things. I mean, maybe
she was very nice. She's like, you mean they gave out your real number? And, I've called a few people back and they have all said, I didn't expect you to call me back. Thank you very much. And I said, well, of course. And we didn't agree and we talked. And
isn't that an example of, I think if you go on social media, you're going to see things that are
yeah.
so hurtful because people say things. When you're able to be a keyboard warrior, you'll say things that you won't if you pick up a phone and, holy cow, there's somebody at the other end. Or if they run into
right.
you when you're knocking on doors. I imagine that it's actually a little heartwarming when you actually have a chance to talk to people who you may not agree with on
right.
every issue, but you can still find some common ground in terms of what we want to accomplish as a people in central Wisconsin.
Right, right. It's interesting. Like someone went on just yesterday, I took a little break. My husband took me kayaking. He was like, you need to chill. Let's go on the kayak.
I can imagine.
And it was a beautiful day. And I checked my phone just briefly and someone was going off on one of my posts, just comment after comment after comment. And I was like, he's like, do you want more? And I just wrote, nah, bro, I'm good. Like, and I try to be pithy about it and
right.
I really don't let it get to me. But at some point I was like, why are you so obsessed with me? What's going on?
I know. And whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, there is a certain respect when you put yourself out there. And again, I've talked about this in the past as well, where you told the story about basically you found out, hey, nobody's running as
right.
a Democrat in this race. I'm going to do it. I'm going to come out there and talk about these important issues that me and my neighbors and other people I talk to do find important that maybe would not be represented otherwise. Anybody that jumps into the race deserves that level of respect. And I imagine that's one of the hardest things that you have to deal with is
right.
when you get piled on in ways that are frankly, unfair.
Right. And luckily, I was talking with my son, came home from college, and we were talking about this weekend, and he said, "You're kind of like me, though. You think it's more funny than hurtful." And I was like, "I do. I just kind of let it roll off." There have been a few, get the little cryptic messages with the "I know where you live" thing that I'm like, okay, no, that's too far. But for the most part, I have very thick skin. And I will say, what I have experienced, I have heard horror stories from other women specifically, because it's all targeted towards women who have run for office, who have gone through horrific. I haven't filed any police reports. I got a new security system, but I haven't filed police reports. I've never felt threatened. No one's ever actually come to my home. Those things have happened. So I feel incredibly lucky that I haven't gone through some of the horrific things that other women have.
We're talking to Kristen Conway, the Democratic nominee for the 85th Assembly District, 15 days away from Election Day, but votes are being passed right now.
My husband and I turned ours in today.
Yes.
But I wouldn't let him take any pictures because I wasn't camera ready.
Right. The election is actually underway. You mentioned just a moment ago about some of the issues that many women have to deal with, and I want to kind of broaden this out as we kind of talk about an issue. And I spent my first two segments today talking about Kanye West and the hate-filled comments that are going out to millions of followers, and Donald Trump making comments recently.
Right.
And whether it's women, whether it's race, religion, and I think the anti-Semitism, because if people don't talk about it, then people just sort of, it's out there.
Right.
I think when you hear it, you got to push back against it. How difficult is it for you as a woman, as... You're a Jewish woman, correct?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not.
No.
You worked there.
I worked there.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
But I'm not Jewish.
My confusion. But you worked with the Jewish folks. That's how we got connected with my former boss.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see the hatred aspect, and I know that part of what a lot of the candidates want to do is to kind of bring us back together a little bit.
Right.
And I think that, and I said during the first couple of segments, if you don't think it matters who's representing you, the last 6-7 years have proven it, that it does matter. It's not even about the issues, but just the way that people carry themselves. And I imagine that one of the things that is important to someone like yourself is to carry yourself in a way that brings people together.
Right, right. I mean, in working at the synagogue, I got a firsthand experience, which I never had. You know, I started working at the synagogue, and I've never been a religious person of any sort, so it was all new to me. And we started getting creepy letters, and I was training my new... my last day there was a few weeks ago, and I was training my new, the lady who was replacing me, and I was like, well, this file is called creepy mail, and that's where I keep a copy of all the creepy mail we get, and there's a police report file in there, and she was just kind of looking at me like, what? You know, it's just those things that you don't think about. Like, yes, it is 2022, and we still get hate mail at the synagogue. Those are things that happen.
And it's because a lot of politicians are normalizing it,
right,
where they are basically pitting us against them.
Right.
And that's, again, one of the aspects of politics that has been very disturbing in recent years. And you just mentioned earlier that how do you bring people together? And right now it's very difficult because you need people of goodwill on both sides to stand up and say when something's not right. And we're not seeing that right now from too many people that are getting the public trust because they are elected to office by the people.
Right, right. And it's easier. It's like you said before, it's harder to be angry at someone and call them names when you're standing face to face. And that's one thing that I have found knocking doors. I didn't knock on, you know, they weren't all Democrats, but I never felt threatened. I never felt like got angry. It was even people that I didn't agree with. We had a nice back and forth, and that was it, and walk away. And I think social media gives us a little blinder that we can just, you know, I've got called so many names over social media or via email. I'm like, would you say that to my face? Because there are things that you just shouldn't be saying to people.
When you do talk to these folks, and we've talked about this in the past, as we've continued, as we get closer and closer to actual votes being put in, and especially towards Election Day itself, have you noticed people getting more into the election? Or because at times I feel like they're still not connected in a way that really they should be. Do you feel that people are connected with the stakes in this election at this point?
I think some are. I live in my little political bubble, and I realize people that pay attention as much as we do, we're the freaks. Like, the majority of the people don't know and don't really, they don't think about it. But I think, I don't know if I think it Roe v. Wade, maybe Trump was the catalyst where people really started listening and paying attention and saying, oh, this does affect, you know, my daily life, because these are things that affect your daily life. More so, you know, the president makes decisions, but when you think about your local school board, your local county board, your local city council, those are the decisions that affect your daily life.
Got to take a quick break, but now we're going to talk about the issues. And there's one that you talked about, the local villages and in your job in Schofield. Again, I think it's a very important issue that has been talked about in the gubernatorial debate. But we're going to talk about it coming up with Kristen Conway after we take a news break here on Bull Falls Radio. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Along with Kristen Conway, the 85th Assembly District Democratic nominee, getting set for a joint appearance tonight over at the Center for Civic Engagement at UWSP at Wausau. A number of candidates, Senator Ron Johnson and others, but Kristen Conway and Pat Snyder, the two candidates for the 85th, will be speaking. Not really a debate, but kind of a joint appearance. How much time total do you get to talk?
I think there's like seven questions, and they said you have 5 minutes for each one.
So. Well, actually, in a sense, that's more than we see in the Senate and the gubernatorial races.
Right?
I mean, which is scary in itself. Let's talk about some of the issues. And we talked about this in the past because of your role wearing the hat in the city of Schofield as a member of their, what's it called? The town?
City council.
City council.
Schofield's a city for some reason.
Yep, city council. You know, banged around all these other cities around it, villages and towns and all that stuff. But again, the idea that Tony Evers brought it up in the debate, and he's been talking about shared revenue. And right now, there is a broken system where not only Milwaukee, people talk about Milwaukee, but every city and town and municipality is having issues. And the Republicans, when Tony Evers has put in his budgets the last couple of times an increase, they've X'd it out back to zero. Tony Evers has said, this is my number one priority.
Right.
I imagine somebody like yourself, that is...
It's huge. I've been saying this since I started to run. City revenue or shared revenue has actually decreased. The cost of everything has increased. And we can't increase property taxes. And we don't want to because they're high. So that leaves cities having to scramble and go to referendum. I don't know. The League of Wisconsin Municipalities has been really talking about this a lot for the last couple months. They had a regional meeting up in Merrill a few weeks ago that I went to, and it was amazing to me. I mean, Schofield has been struggling, but there were people from all over, from Merrill, Antigo, Rhinelander, who were like, they don't have enough EMTs,
right?
And they don't have the funds to pay for another EMT. You know, they just don't have the funds for it anymore. And the fact that we used to get 60% of funding from the state, and now it's down to 40, leaving property taxes. Cities are really struggling to pay for all these services. You know what it costs? Like just patching a road has increased 300% in the last 10 or 15 years, but the reimbursement rate has not.
I'm on the same lines. When you talk about that $5 billion surplus that's sitting there in Madison, you got the idea about shared revenue and helping these municipalities.
Right.
Education.
Shared revenue
well.
And education.
And education as well. I mean, there are. It's like, well, your thoughts on education and the opportunity, because you go back to the Walker administration since then, education has been shortchanged in the same way.
Well, and if you look at the corporate tax cuts that Walker and the Republicans have made, there's almost a direct correlation with the amount how shared revenue has decreased and how education has decreased. Let's see, we gave corporations, you know, I think it was like $43 billion over the last, since Walker's been there.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much it's almost a direct correlation. So all these tax cuts where manufacturers are paying 0.4% tax, that's where that's going. They just took that money right out of education, right out of shared revenue, right out of roads, and said, oh, it's good because we gave them a tax cut. And they didn't, it's like they didn't like think 20 years into the future about how this would affect revenue.
And again, something that's again connected with it is the fact that the legislature's not doing their job when they Correct. Go out of session for this amount of time. When you got those issues on the table, when you got ideas from the governor, whether they like the governor or not, there mm-hmm. are ideas, and yet they will not even come and discuss it. And again, nope. that is one of the areas that has to change. I mean, one way or the other, it has to change. We can't have a government that is shut down. A full-time legislature. They are paid right. as full-time legislators, but yet they're closed right. down for almost the entire year.
There's only 10 other states that pay their legislators full-time, and they don't work full-time. They were in session 55 hours this last session. So that's like $1,000 an hour for being there.
Which is...
That's
I can't believe there wasn't any other Democrats running for that. You're looking for a great hourly wage. There you go.
Kidding.
Again, we're talking to Kristen Conway from the 85th Assembly District, the Democratic nominee up against Pat Snyder, the Republican, with Election Day coming up on November the 8th. Something we talked about as well, one of the issues that got you involved is the issue of abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And during the summer, there was the big ruling from the Supreme Court. Has some of the fire gone out of the people?
I hope not.
I mean, I'm just wondering, because you talk to them a lot closer than I do when you're knocking on the doors and hearing from people in running this campaign. But for some reason, in the back of my mind, it feels like when you look at some of the polling from around the country,
mm-hmm.
where people are all of a sudden talking about economics issues and stuff like
right.
that. If what is the feeling you're getting when you're talking to people about the abortion issue?
I think it is still forefront, but I think the Republicans have done a really good job of creating their own narrative about crime, which, you know, crime is on the rise, but they're focusing on literally anything but abortion. They're focusing on, you know, the economy and crime, which, again, those are very important issues as well. But they're creating this whole other narrative. Like, don't worry about that. We don't need to talk about that. Let's address this problem instead. I really hope that it's not on the back burner. Right at this point in the campaign, I'm just trying to get Democrats out to vote. So I'm not trying to change people's minds at
right.
this point. But the Democrats that I talk to are still very motivated about this issue.
So you sense this fire is still
it's
there.
It's still there. It's, yeah, I'm not sure that it's as it was, say, in June when we had a couple
right.
rallies, definitely, but still there.
And getting people to come out.
Getting people to vote is huge.
Again, we see some of the polls, and early on, I think, you know, in the first year after the 2020 election, it felt like a lot of the polls said that Republicans were more enthusiastic about coming out than after what happened in the summer. It looked like maybe the Democrats were more enthusiastic. Do you feel a sense of enthusiasm with the supporters that you talk to? Do you feel like the numbers are going to be there? That because I imagine that a high turnout is good for yourself and other Democrats.
Yes, I think a high turnout is definitely, I mean, like I said, the April election was entirely about turnout. That's why we have the county board that we do. The numbers were the same. They just, not enough Democrats came out. And I've said from the beginning, I honestly think that if enough Democrats come out to vote, the 85th is absolutely winnable. I think we know the state level is winnable because we have state level Democrats right now.
Right. You mentioned crime. And again, it just feels like a lot of what we see are campaign spots and not really talking about
right.
crime as an issue. As you said, crime is always an issue. Crime, these are not record-setting crime numbers.
Right,
We've had the 90s. We've had worse, but
right.
that's not to underestimate the people who deal with crime. Criminal justice reform. And I actually read a story early today about a man in New York who is actually the chief of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. And right now, his race has gone from lean D to a toss-up. And the person said, well, he was on the forefront of some criminal justice reform about cashless bail.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there's a pushback, and we're going back to the old lock 'em up. What is your sense? What do we have to do? Because I think there is a need for some criminal justice reform, that it shouldn't be where the poor people have to sit in jail for months while the rich people can get bailed out because they have the money. But at the same time, it feels like the Republicans are pushing back that when you say cashless bail,
that means we're going to let everyone out.
Exactly.
No matter
what. So what's your game plan when it comes to the issue of crime should be elected?
And I think because I have a nonprofit background, and I don't know if this is the reason why, but I'm always a big picture person. Like looking at, like when you're talking about bail and somebody, okay, they've committed a nonviolent offense. Is this going to affect, they can't afford bail. They're going to miss their job. They're going to stay away from their family. They're probably not going to be able to keep their job if they have to stay in jail. Let's look at the big picture. Are there underlying issues? Is there alcohol and drug addiction? Is there mental illness? They're not going to get treatment for that in jail. They're going to need something that can be where they can be helpful. They can get assistance. So why are we just keeping them in jail, which is going to just exacerbate all the problems? Mm-hmm. Also looking at, again, why do people commit crimes? Why aren't we spending more money on social workers and mental health counselors and alcohol and drug abuse intervention before we send a police officer with a gun? Like, these are what these people are trained to do. We can't expect police officers to also be mental health counselors and also be social workers. And also, and Owosso is doing a good thing when they hired that liaison to deal with some of the issues they're seeing. Excuse me. around the homelessness. You know, they hired someone to come in and who specializes in that.
It also connects back to what we were talking about with the shared revenue.
Right.
I mean, there are limited dollars.
There are.
And if you're going to add more dollars to the criminal justice system, whether it's through policing, whether it's through the jails and the housing with jails, that leaves less money for other issues. And I don't hear them talk a lot about, hey, well, we're going to give more money overall. No, it's just more money to a certain area, but that leaves everybody else out in the cold.
Right. I mean, even when we were... The I forget what it was called, I'm sorry. When the county got a grant for the place for people with non-custodial kids, I think it was the KEYS program.
Okay.
We got a grant. It just needed approval by the county board, and our county board said, no, we don't want it. Why are we turning down grant money to help families? How is that helping crime? How is that helping anything? It's not.
It'd be quite an interesting list to see whether it's from local, county, state governments over the past decade or so, the amount of money that's been left on the table.
Right.
Big numbers in different areas where,
right.
And then they will always complain about spending too much when you have an opportunity to actually help people. And that's the bottom line, isn't it?
It is the bottom line.
To be able, every policy has to be, how does this affect the people that you represent? And again, too many of the commercials just seem to talk above the people, about not exactly how it affects them, but how does it come across as opposed to the actual effect of the day-to-day life of the people that you see walk into a supermarket or anywhere else. And too much of the campaign, and we don't hear enough about it, and it's hard when you don't have the opportunities to have a give-and-take discussion to get into the details of so many interesting and important issues in this campaign. Is, I imagine that's a frustrating aspect where you want to be able to get into the weeds a little bit about some of this stuff.
I want to shout from the rooftops about shared revenue and how the state's been defunding the police for decades, but nobody talks about it. But I don't have a platform to do this. This is my platform right here, and I'm very grateful. But, you know, like I said, I've been interviewed by Channel 7, Channel 9 several times, and none of them have ever aired. I've written a few letters to the editor, and those have been printed, but I don't have a platform other than people spreading my message.
And that's one of the aspects of our early 21st century media landscape, that back in the day, there was a lot more local coverage in different levels. And nowadays, it's all because of, you know, consolidation of media resources. It makes it much more difficult. We don't have you were fortunate to be able to be in the Wausau Daily Herald, but the Herald isn't what it once was. I mean, it's just in talking about reach and aspects like that. But we have about 90 seconds to go. The closing push now in the last 2 weeks. What is maybe your final, if the folks listening out there right now, what's your final message to the folks out there in terms of the importance?
I talked to a lady the other day who called. She's 78 years old, and she had some questions about some of the flyers she received. So we talked, and at the end, she said, I can't do much, but what can I do? And I said, you can vote. You can make sure that you vote and take some friends with you and make a day out of it. Go get some coffee or drinks, whatever. And she was like, yeah, that's a good idea. And that's what I say. Make a day of it. Make sure that you're encouraging everyone in your life to vote, because these are decisions that will matter.
It must be exceptionally touching to yourself to know that there are going to be people out there that actually check your name.
Oh, absolutely.
Voting for you.
I did it this morning when I filled out my ballot, and I was like, oh, my son did it when he was home from college. He filled out his ballot.
There's something very special about that.
It is.
That's
it
the system working in a big sense. Well, Kristen, thank you very much for popping in again. I know the last 15 days are going to be a whirlwind. Best of luck reaching the people tonight at your event, and best of luck over the next 2 weeks.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
That's Kristen Conway, again, Democratic candidate for the 85th Assembly District. We'll come back, have more coming up here on Bull Falls Radio, WXEO. Friday night, the Wausau West High School football team travels to the number one ranked team in the state, Bayport, for a WIAA Level 2 football playoff. Hear all the exciting action live on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, and mobile devices by searching WXCO, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Wausau West High School football on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, is brought to you by the Cloverbell Credit Union, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Sun Printing, Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, Bob Look for State Senate, and the Wausau West Athletic Department. It's Wausau West at Bayport in a WIAA Division I Level 2 playoff. Hear all the exciting action on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa, with the pregame show starting at 6:40 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. 68 degrees, another mild afternoon here in Wausau. Things will cool down tomorrow significantly. In fact, expecting high temperatures, more than 20 degrees cooler tomorrow. Little bit of a chance of rain through tomorrow, and then a lot of sunshine, I should say, Wednesday through the weekend. So hopefully you had a chance to get out there, enjoy the weather for the past couple of days, over the weekend especially, as I don't expect we're going to get this hot again until sometime in 2023. Thanks again to Kristen Conway for joining us. It's interesting. Again, if you're somebody, and I'm going to pop over there myself, because it's actually a very interesting late afternoon, early evening over at the Center for Civic Engagement at UWSP at Wausau. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson got Bob Look and Corey Tomchek, the state Senate candidates, the state Assembly candidates as well, Pat Snyder and Kristen Conway. So, Tom Tiffany and also Dick Ostman, the 7th Congressional District candidate. So all these folks are going to be at the Center for Civic Engagement starting at 5 o'clock. So if you're somebody that wants to get a little bit more information, hear from these candidates, I would suggest you get on over there. That's my plan as well. And also, it's always great to get some information from the candidates themselves here with a little bit of a long form here on the program. And tomorrow, we'll get a chance to talk again to Bob Look. He is the Democratic candidate, State Senate, District number 29 is an open seat, going up against Republican Corey Tomchek, the retiring State Senator Jerry Petruski vacating that seat. So again, Bob Look will join us tomorrow at 3:15 right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And again, don't forget, you can always tune in online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Mentioned a little bit earlier that the CNN poll that came out showing a very, very, very tight race, both in terms of the U.S. Senate and the U.S. Senate and the gubernatorial races, 50-48, Governor Tony Evers with a slight lead over Tim Michaels, and also 1 point, 50-49. Ron Johnson with a lead over Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes in the Senate race. Also, I did not mention this earlier, there's really the first polling I've seen for the Secretary of State race. Amy Loudenbeck, the Republican, Doug La Follette, the Democrat, Doug La Follette, of course, a longtime Secretary of State, and a 1 point lead right now for Doug La Follette over Amy Loudenbeck. And I think, again, a lot of it has to do with the D and the R. Right now, you see a lot of Ds. They're sticking with their candidate. You see the Rs sticking with their candidate. But I think the Secretary of State race, people have to look at, what do they want from the Secretary of State? What do they want from the elections here in Wisconsin? Because you know that the Republicans are going to try and push more power to have one person be able to overturn things. And that could be a very, very dangerous situation. But the polls show, again, I think, and again, we are going to have extensive coverage all night long on November the 8th here on Civic Media and Bow Falls Radio, WXCO. We are going to have our hosts from throughout the day on the air, bringing you reports, bringing you insight, bringing you analysis. So make sure you tune in, because I think it's going to be a long night. I would be shocked if the Senate race, the governor's race, and the Secretary of State race, and the Attorney General races are all very narrow. I mean, I mentioned earlier about how in the presidential races over the this century, the six presidential races, four of which decided by less than 1%, amazing how tight Wisconsin is in these statewide races. And I expect those four races will all be just nip and tuck affairs. So again, make sure when you get done voting on November the 8th, you come by, turn on your radio, tune us in online, tune us in on your mobile devices, because if you're looking for the most comprehensive coverage locally and statewide, it will be right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 on November the 8th. Coming up, we'll get more analysis and insight and a whole bunch more. The Devil's Advocates coming up from 4 till 6 p.m. I'll be back tomorrow from 2 until 4 again. Our guest will be Bob Look, the 29th State Senate Democratic nominee, as he gets set just 2 weeks away, Election Day, against Corey Tomchek. Thanks again to our guest for today from the 85th Assembly District, the Democratic nominee, Kristen Conway. We got CBS News coming up at the top of the hour, and then, of course, the Devil's Advocates. Glad you could join me, and hope you can join me again tomorrow from 2 to 4. And each weekday from 2 to 4, Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Get out there, enjoy the warm weather, and enjoy the rest of the day.